SBS Radio.
Hello, I'm Matt Starr, and you're listening to NITV Radio. What you're about to hear is my interview with Jamie Newman, the CEO of the Orange Aboriginal Medical Service. He told me about how funding since the last census has benefited his community, and how important it is for all Indigenous people to participate in the upcoming census.
One of our social requirements as an organisation is engaging with our people so that it's not only for an answer or current service delivery, but for future service delivery. So it's critical that our people participate in the two main areas where we've been lacking in for years, and that's the census and also enrolling to vote. Government funding naturally is based on, you know, population numbers in our communities, and all levels of government look at that data so that there is equitable distribution of funds. There's only a finite amount of funds available through all levels of government, and we see this, the social requirements for our people, where Aboriginal people can have a say in distribution of funds, but also capability building, where we don't have people who feel confident enough to be on committees or be on boards or lobby for funds. This is the silent way of doing it, by being participatory in the census and enrolling to vote is our people's way of having a say. You see the evolution now around the coalition of peaks around Aboriginal people being the decision makers. A lot of our people aren't going to be the main decision makers, but they can participate on a silent level by being counted in the census and having a voice in enrolling to vote. And we see that critical, and we promote that through our community. In the past, we've had people employed by the census, and they've come in and spoken to people at our work, and we've guided them on where a basis of our population is in Orange, and directed them in certain ways and areas how to connect with those people. We still haven't hit the mark yet with getting people enrolling to vote, but the census change, even over the last two censuses, we've had multiple people participating and our numbers have increased, but we still are not hitting the mark. We know that as an Aboriginal organisation, our regular clients are over 3,500, but the census says that we only have 1,700 people. Now, that number's increased from the previous year, so we're getting more funding based on the enhanced uptake by our people in the census, but we've still got a long way to go.
I also imagine the benefit of funding allocated based on census data is that it would reflect the particular needs of the community as dictated by the community themselves and the data they've personally provided. Have you found that to be the case with the funding that's been provided?
Oh, yes. We one of the benefits of the data that's collected under the census talks about, you know, the demographic breakdown of you know, how many people in the house, what the income is, you know, the employment, all those types of social determinants that as an Aboriginal medical service we need to be aware of, so that when we're looking at designing or redesigning our service provision, then we need to be aware that if we're going to establish an additional arm of our organisation, it has to be based on need. The census gives us that data. We can't have focus groups with our people. We can't have consultations with our people on a regular basis. So the census provides that data to us, which is a greater representation of our people's needs than by holding a focus group or a consultation forum with about half a dozen people turning up. So we are able to redesign or design additional service delivery or enhanced service delivery by looking at that census. One of the benefits that we've seen from doing that, Matt, is we recently built a wellbeing centre that is for rehabilitation, recovery, intervention, prevention for healthcare around people with chronic illness, frail aged, people with disabilities, and people who want to be well. So we built it out of our own funds, but we knew that the uptake would be significant, and it has been in the last 12 months of operating that facility. It's given us a case where we could say to the government that we are preventing illness and disease by having this wellbeing centre. And we built it for us at this point in time. We're getting the gains that we knew we would get. We still have a vision of change in the next 3 years, but by looking at our census, getting a really good, solid understanding of what are the social needs of our community, and then applying it in service has been, for us, the point of difference.
And so with those new services and programs, have you been able to see an improvement in health outcomes?
Different individual cases, yes. We have a people with, we're doing a joint project, one of the universities, around reducing COPD and some of the indicators of COPD around lack of activity, lack of exercise, lack of diet. So putting those things into practice where we have the resource to do it, a lot of our people need those follow-up services, but they don't engage because it comes at a cost to them when they have to leave the service and go and access them privately. There's no free type of service that enables people with chronic illness to access intervention, prevention, support and supervision around exercise, diet, nutrition and activity. We have a young guy who's lost 30 kilos by being on our program, where he's exercising on a regular basis under supervision, being mentored by people who work in our facility, being on call for this person when required, not after hours, we only work Monday to Friday. But we've seen a significant shift in this one, and he's a 13-year-old boy who's dropped 30 kilos, is participating in sport, his attendance at school has increased. So we see the minor wins even after 12 months of running that program.
And so what would you say to any Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people out there who are maybe reluctant to participate in the census?
Given the push now, Matt, around, you know, our people, Aboriginal people being at the decision-making table, listening to the voices of our people, all that push from a Commonwealth level and a government level, being in the census, being able to participate in the census, being able to vote is our people's way of doing that. Yes, there are other ways by, you know, being part of focus groups and all those types, if people feel comfortable to do that. Not a lot of our people can do that, but solidly they can do it through the census, because that will influence funding at a greater level than advocacy through a focus group, a consultation, or a review, by whether it's by a government agency or non-government agency. The census and the voting option for our people needs to be maximised so that our organisations and our communities benefit from it. Our people don't have to be at focus groups and consultation forums. If they feel comfortable, yes, avail yourself to do it. But I'd encourage Aboriginal people to enrol to vote and to make themselves available when the census comes knocking. You are helping our organisation. You are potentially could support economic development by being counted in the census. Our people don't fully understand that. We need to encourage it as an organisation. We need to promote it. We need to say that your voice can be heard by being in the census, being enrolled to vote, because then we can change the way that governments fund us, the way they provide economic support to our communities through our Aboriginal organisations predominantly, and then eventually they get the return on that. And that's what I'd be saying. Your silent voice through the census and enrolling to vote can have a loud outcome for us, and that's what we're pushing here.
Yeah, I'd never thought of census participation as being an expression of power on a similar level to voting, but that's a really accurate way of looking at it, I think.
Yeah, it is. And look, we don't, not a lot of our people might feel confident being on a, you know, a consultation forum or a focus group, because it usually gets bombarded by the vocal mob that are out there. But we can still participate. You say to a young family or an older family or an individual, that you can influence our practice by telling us, this is what income means for you, this is what lives at your house, this is where you're living, or this is what your health, education and social needs are. And we don't have to keep, especially for Aboriginal people, we've been drilling into our people that we need to have consult after consult, we need to be told this. It's up to our organisations and our regional bodies for Aboriginal people, is to look at the data that's already there and say, is this a true reflection? We know it isn't. Anytime we apply for funding as an Aboriginal organisation, we say anecdotally, we know there's at least 3,500, 4,000, 5,000 people in our community, but the census says 1,700. That is not a true reflection of who we're providing services to, because our data tells us it's it's double what the census says. That's the message we need to be saying to our people. You participating here aren't or aren't under the census or the enrolling to vote is a lot more that you can do for our community, our organisations and our future by just doing these things. And I think that needs to change. I think we need to be at the forefront of that so that we're engaging our people, we're not educating, we're sharing with our people, this is how you can have a say in our organisations. You look at majority of Aboriginal organisations across our footprint, either statewide or nationally, and the membership of our Aboriginal organisations do not reflect the numbers of Aboriginal people that are in our community, but our people can still have a say. And I think that's what we need to be pushing.
That was Jamie Newman, CEO of the Orange Aboriginal Medical Service in New South Wales, discussing the positive outcomes from census participation in his local community. The next census will take place on the 10th of August, 2021. Jamie, thanks for your time.
No worries, buddy. Thank you.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.